Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Cardinal fans, are you ready? I can't hear you. Get to your feet and give it up for your
You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, a Louisville AM podcast, and this is our inaugural session. I am Crumbs Revenge, also known as Mike Lindsay, and I'm standing here with my trusty partner, Sheriff 50, also known as Mark Blakenbaker. Mark, how are you doing today?
I am fantastic, Mike. This is really exciting.
New
company, Louisville AM, and we're on board. We're going to launch our new website, thecrunchzone.com, together, and this is going to be a weekly part of what we do each week.
So that's right. Excited. Every week we're going to come out with a podcast, and we're going to be talking about the goings-on or maybe even having interviews. So the content's going to mix up quite a bit, but if you're a diehard card fan or a casual fan trying to catch up, this will be a good podcast to download over lunch, while you're driving, maybe in the shower while holding a plugged-in radio.
And you can download it on iTunes.
And you can download it on iTunes. So this is the real deal, Holyfield. But let's start with basketball. Mark, we've seen a lot of news the last week. Cardinal Caravan produced some of it, and Vine and Twitter produced quite a bit of it. So let's talk Kevin Ware.
Yeah, Kevin Ware, shooting jumpers already. March 31st, breaks his leg in half and becomes a worldwide sensation. Goes everywhere, basically. Yeah. And now he's shooting jump shots. I mean, modern medicine is just absolutely incredible. And I think it's really awesome because and he said, why are you shooting now? And he's like, because November's coming.
That's right.
Kind of like a Game of Thrones reference, which I liked a lot.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I don't know if I'm shocked or not. It looked awful, but it's not like he's playing on a prosthetic leg. It broke.
Right.
Broken legs healed, but it was a compound fracture, so that's kind of a big deal.
It is, but, you know, you put a titanium rod in there. And he did not suffer any infection like Michael Bush did with his injury. Now it's just a matter of getting over the soreness, getting your flexibility back. Because you're not going to break a titanium rod, right?
Yeah.
You just need to make sure that there's no infection. The bone is healed around the rod. And then you just need to be able to get your athleticism back and get the pain out of the way, which I'm sure there's still pain.
And I wonder how much, you know, Michael Bush had his infection. Kevin Ware did not. Kevin Ware had his surgery up in Indianapolis,
right?
Which the Indianapolis Colts are up there, and they talk about the top notch. They just brag about what they have up there from a medical perspective. And I wonder, I know infections can just randomly happen, but I wonder if you had to break your leg, if that's a good city to break your leg.
That was the perfect place, because actually the reason why they're so good there is actually the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Because they say that when you're in a car crash, that these types of leg breaks are very common, especially high speed, which of course happen in race cars.
Yeah.
So they have top-notch leg doctors there, or bone breaks, trauma doctors, at the hospital that he visited in Indianapolis. So
you're saying a car crash can hurt more than being hit by Dwight Freeney, who's no longer with the Colts?
Well, yes, I would say so, especially when you're driving 200 miles an hour, open cockpit.
No seatbelt.
No seatbelt. Basically, I'm sure they wear seatbelts. I mean, let's get real.
Well, I'm very excited that Kevin is, his mind's right. You know, like, he's getting after it. He is not wasting any time. And if anyone's had rehab, they know that they're their own worst enemy at that point.
Because in their own head.
There is a lot of, well, not just mentally, but physically. You have a list of exercises that you have to do. My dad had knee surgery. And they said, you have to basically do this hours a day. And then you have to do this hours a day. And you don't really want to do it hours a day.
No.
So if you do it, it's one of those things where, like, you have a finite amount of time to improve the fastest and the most. And if you take advantage of that time, then you're going to heal the best. If you get lazy or you're not in the mood and you're not getting it done, then you're not going to heal as well. And he seemed like, I just remember him making a comment, the doctors told me exactly what I need to do to get on the court, and I'm going to do exactly that. So
right.
It just seemed like he was in the perfect mindset to heal, to make sure this leg gets healed for basketball.
Great mindset, but also 95% of the people who have injuries don't go to college, a high-level college basketball program, or even athlete. Like, most of us, when we get injured, go back to our desk job or whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
We're not trying to play high level sports. But, you know, I think the best thing for him is that, you know, now he's going to be working out all summer, doing those rehabs, running on the leg, so that when he gets into November and games start, practice starts, that's all gone. The worrying about playing, I mean, when he steps on the floor for the first time, he's going to get a huge ovation, but he will have played, I imagine, a lot of basketball.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I always compared him to Stacey Augman of UNLV from back in the day and his athleticism, and Stacey was quick, got to the rim. And what we saw in the NCAA tournament with him doing those high bank shots off the fly and attacking the rim like that, that was classic Stacey Augman.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin is there. And then the dang leg broke. And then now we're back to, not to square one, but it's just a shame because he had such great momentum going.
He was incredible. I mean, his defense was just outstanding. And I think the most impressive thing athletically about Kevin Ware was his straightforward 5 to 10 yard burst. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody faster.
No, he's
not even Russ or Peyton.
Well,
he was so fast straight ahead.
You know,
it's unbelievable.
I always thought about that because Peyton and Russ and Kevin are all lightning fast, but the only thing that slows Kevin Ware up is his handles. He dribbles fine,
right?
But he does not change directions and move the ball into position to keep his run at full speed like Russ and Peyton. But once Kevin Ware, if that's a focus for him, I think if he gets his handles to the part where the ball is just extension of his hand either
right.
side,
yeah.
then we're going to see a whole other gear of speed because the ball is not going to slow him down.
Well, definitely. I mean, I just think he was really blossoming at the time of his injury. I mean, for the 6 weeks leading up to it, it was just like every single game was like a new development, and it was really fun to watch. And I hated that he got injured. I hate any person to get injured. Yeah. But I mean, from his game, I mean, he was like a sixth man basically.
Yeah.
He made everything go. But you know, he got hurt. Tim Anderson hit some huge threes.
Yeah.
Won the national championship, and he got to go to the Correspondents' Dinner. So
yeah, worked out for everybody.
Yeah.
Zach Price.
Yep. Zach has decided, I guess, and Pitino even was trying to figure out if that was going to happen, but apparently we have confirmation now that Zach Price is leaving the Louisville basketball program. We don't know where he's going to go. I think Bellarmine would be a great spot for him, actually.
Well, you know, he's legit. You know, like, I'm surprised that if Mango is kind of like...
No, he must be.
If he's really good, and,
right.
you know, TJ kind of left, like, what? You're leaving? And Gorgie joked around, oh, he's afraid of me. Now, I don't know if he was afraid of him, but he might have saw... I'm splitting time. I'm getting less minutes than I did this year. I don't think he liked the college experience, just the testing and stuff
maybe
like that.
Not.
Some people just don't like
not.
It.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious on Zach because he did awfully well in the Bahamas against Duke and Plumlee. He had like 14 points and like 8 rebounds. I don't know the exact numbers, but he got it done. And I was excited to see it's year 3. He's waited his turn. I don't think he's going to be dominant, but I mean, he's a big body. He's so agile. For a guy his size.
He was actually the Louisville's biggest player, you know,
yep.
even last year. And I was with you. Like, when are we going to see Zach Price produce? Is it going to be now where he's gone? It's going to be Vantrease and Mango, maybe a Koya Gal. But, you know, it seemed like there was a competition there to be had and that Zach Price would work on his game, get into October, get into practice, and see where he fell.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what his thinking is. I mean, maybe he just wants a different college experience. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. I don't know.
Yeah.
People change for a million different reasons. I just don't know. If he wants to play high-level college basketball, I'm interested to see where he lands. If he wants to stay here in town and play a ton of minutes, Bellarmine. I mean, that would be...
But I do think he can land somewhere
like
better than Bellarmine, but he may not want to sit out that year.
Exactly. And
so,
that's where I'm going with that.
But I will say this. On his Vine, so Vine is... I don't, you know, it's not going to take over Twitter just because sometimes they take too. It can be annoying sometimes.
It might take over Instagram.
It might. But two things with Vine. One, 3 days before Pitino mentioned Zach Price is likely gone, and then confirmed on Twitter by Zach Price, I'm gone, in so many words. 3 days prior, he had on Vine saying, people keep asking me when I'm coming back. And the next movie segment said, never. And the next segment said, are you all starting to get the idea here? So everyone that's had Vine, including me,
knew,
popped out on Twitter, Zach sounds like
he's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah,
and some people disputed it. Some people said, yeah, it sounds it. And 3 days later, sure enough, he was gone.
But, you know, when you're talking about college kids, and when am I coming back, and never, that could be to a girl.
So, yeah, or
that
could, summer
be,
break.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in L.A., I think.
He
I think he was in
California.
He could
be out there having fun, and just he could just be messing with folks. So, and see, hear it from the school or something like that. I like to not speculate personally because...
Well, I'll speculate if it...
You go ahead.
He says it on the camera, and it could be summer break. It could be lots of things.
Absolutely. Also, I don't know if you got your Ricotino Maker's Mark Latino bottle this week. It was kind of hard to find.
I did as the result of efforts, many efforts of a friend of mine. I did nothing. I literally sat at my desk, and I got a call.
Nice. So you just kind of just lucked into
That's
it.
So not fair because everyone was working so hard, and I got a call and said, your bottle is ready.
It was actually really fun.
I owe that guy a lot.
Yeah, you do. You
yes,
owe
I do.
Quite a bit. It was frustrating and fun at the same time because I went to 10 places before I even got a sniff at one.
Yeah.
And then my 12th spot, I was able to land one, and I went to 3 additional places to see if I could get one extra for various folks that were asking me to help.
No, Father's Day's coming up.
Father's Day coming up, and I was able to land one. It was like 11:15.
Yeah.
Rite Aid got a late shipment in,
yeah.
and I just happened to roll in, and I was defeated. But I was going from liquor store to liquor store to liquor store, and it was just a big bunch
of
Cardinal
fans. I saw it on the
news.
Yeah, there was a picture, non-Cardinal fans who just read the news said, are you going to try to get a bottle? You ought to see these pictures. I mean, there were people lying down the block.
And I thought it was going to be much easier because I actually joked before. I was like, yeah, you know, I live around 9 liquor stores, so I'm definitely going to be able to just find one easily.
Yeah.
And they were gone. I mean, there wasn't even a hint. And I think that me living in St. Matthews around all those liquor stores, everybody knows how many stores are around there. I think they all just kind of flocked to that neighborhood.
Yeah, some of them didn't have a lot. Like, one of the stories I heard was he was 7th in the line.
And
they opened
6?
The door, and well, actually, it was in his favor, but there was a long line of people behind him. They came out and said, we have 8.
Nice.
So there was no, I mean, I guess that's fair. You just, good luck, happy hunting, and we're not going to tell you exactly where they are. And just
the way I understand it, it all is based on how much Maker's Mark you sold during the year, as to how many bottles of Maker's Mark they gave to each store. The Beverage Warehouse across the street from me got 87 bottles, and they were gone in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
As fast as they could literally ring them up. Yeah. But there was another place down on River Road. We're not going to say the name of it.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
But they were packaging the UK Tim Couch bottle with the Rick Pitino bottle. And if you wanted to buy a Rick Pitino bottle, you had to buy the still on the shelf Tim Couch bottle.
The unsold, unwanted Tim Couch bottle.
So the joke all day Saturday was, hey, this Tim Couch bourbon tastes awful regular Maker's Mark.
There
you
go.
Because Louisville fans are not going to keep that on their shelf.
That's right.
But
I did not know that.
Buying.
That's weak.
And apparently there's some retailers that are getting in trouble for some of their shenanigans, jacking the price up, requiring people to buy other things. And also some people sold them on like Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
So
I heard there's some crazy prices on eBay and Craigslist or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I did. So the guy that bought mine said that both bottles, were different prices.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable, but still a beautiful bottle. People are going to be able to get it signed at KFC Yum Center on Thursday. At a signing event, 5:00, which tickets go on sale Monday at 10:00, which at this point we may release this podcast after that, so that may not be helpful to our listeners. But
well, we'll wrap up basketball here in a second. I want to bring up a couple quick things. So Chris Jones, superstar point guard, JUCO player of the year 1,000 times over.
We hope he's a superstar.
Well, he was a JUCO superstar,
yeah.
JUCO player for sure.
Yeah.
He's in town. He's playing with the team. He's ready to go.
Terry Rozier has arrived.
He's arrived, but not he has not been cleared.
He has not been cleared yet.
So, and that makes us nervous because he's already been not cleared once, and that's why he went to prep school. He came to Louisville. He was a recruit on last year's class, and he went to prep school because all his classes weren't in order. So now he's gone to prep school, and here he is sitting here, not cleared yet. That makes us nervous. But the question I have with that is how long is it going to take? Because sometimes you hear about these clearance stories, and Gorky Jang initially ruled ineligible, then eligible. But you hear these things going into the season. So I'm wondering.
I don't know. I don't know what the rule is.
Does this count as an early start? Do we get an early answer?
Can he show up and live on campus? Can the university provide him housing?
Oh, he's here, yeah.
When he's not eligible, though. I mean, I don't know the rules. I'm totally out of it on that part. So I'm interested.
I don't know.
I don't know. I would hope that they could get this
maybe
cleared
until
up.
You get a ruling otherwise.
I would hope they get it cleared up over the summer. So we'll see.
Because Gorey was here.
Yeah, Gorey was here. Yeah,
he was here for months.
Yeah.
So you probably get a pass, and then if they say no, then effective immediately.
Maybe, yeah.
You need to buy your own bus ticket back to
wherever
you want to go.
Where you can figure out a way to stay in school. So, well, also, football.
Okay.
They released their rotating ACC opponent that Louisville will play.
Why can't football be next year? The ACC schedule.
So, in 2014, Louisville will actually host the University of Miami, and that the home schedule is actually looking incredible for that year. Right now, if you're thinking about getting 2013 tickets, yeah, your 2014 schedule is out of control. You're going to have Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Florida International is at home. Miami, Florida State, NC State, and Wake Forest, all home
That's
games.
That's insane. Do you have this year's schedule?
This year's schedule,
it's
I don't
like,
have.
It's like Eastern.
Yeah,
now, Ohio's not bad.
Ohio, Eastern, Kentucky.
That's not a team anyone's going to be excited about, but they won their bowl game. They did well in their conference, and then they won a bowl game. So Ohio is the perfect team for you to give no respect to and for them to come up and beat you by 7.
You know, they beat Penn State last year. And they're
at Penn State, right?
At Penn State. First game ever without Joe Paterno. You know, they lost. But, yeah, our schedule for 2013, Ohio, Eastern Kentucky, Florida International, Temple, Rutgers, Central Florida, South Florida, Connecticut, Houston, Memphis, Cincinnati. Not going to shake your
–
not going to be awesome. But guess what? 2014 rolls around. Kentucky, Florida International, Marshall, Notre Dame, Miami, Florida State, NC State,
Notre
Wake
Dame.
Forest.
Clemson's on there.
Virginia,
the
Boston College, Clemson,
is
and Syracuse.
Is Notre Dame home or away?
Notre Dame is away.
Okay, so Clemson's away and Notre Dame, both great road games.
Both awesome road games.
Of all those games, what's the game you're most excited about?
Of all the games?
Yeah.
Honestly,
you have to pick one.
It would be, I don't know.
You have to pick one.
I'd probably say Notre Dame away.
Okay.
And that's incredible considering that we're going to play Florida State and Miami at home as well as, UK and North Carolina State.
In my opinion, we played Florida State and we beat them. And we played Miami and we beat them.
Well, there's some.
We played NC State. We owe them. That'll be
We owe NC State. We owe Marshall.
What I guarantee if Florida International and Marshall are they both on that schedule?
They should
I'm
be.
I'm sure
yes.
One will be bought out.
No, full 12 slate right now, man. If nothing changes, I mean, honestly,
How many home games?
6.
Okay.
But obviously, you need to get 7, usually.
Well, then
to make a little money.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But right now, the schedule, even without changes, the schedule's going to be amazing.
I would probably have to say Notre Dame as well. Clemson is one that I'm real excited about, just because I have a personal connection to Clemson. When I played college tennis, my coach set a lot of the Clemson tennis records. And their Botanical Gardens campus. So if you go to the campus, it's like, it's just beautiful.
It's surrounded by water.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the whole area is really nice. And then, of course, Death Valley and the whole thing.
The rock and all that stuff running down the hill.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. But I'm excited most about those two games just because we haven't played them.
And that whole year is going to be very interesting because, more than likely we're going to be playing that entire season without the services of Teddy Bridgewater and probably also Sean Watson, who I imagine is probably going to take a head coaching position at the end of this coming season.
And maybe Devontae.
And Devontae Parker and Calvin Pryor and a host of other juniors that have been outstanding for the University of Louisville. We'll have a decision to make about going to the NFL, but the good news is that Charlie Strong has been, and his entire staff, have been recruiting amazingly. So even though we're going to be losing some really top-level players, we're going to be giving some young kids a chance behind them. And there will be an adjustment going from the Big East to the ACC, playing that high-caliber game week after week after week.
Yeah.
Will take its toll, so depth will become a major, major part. And I would love to have Teddy Bridgewater at the helm for that, but we will see.
And it's not unheard of that when the superstar quarterback runs his course with a school, that the coach moves on to a new position because his magic is done.
Yeah.
Riding the players of the magical player to a big contract. He has a big contract, Charlie Strong, and I think his contract has a nice bonus at the end of the first year of the ACC.
It does.
Which was designed to have continuity going into the ACC and not lose everything, players and coaches, all before the start of the ACC.
Almost every Tom Jurich contract has a loyalty bonus within it, and that was, there's no difference with Charlie Strong. His loyalty bonus from his first contract is carrying over to his NAT contract that he has now.
And that makes me feel 75% better.
It'll be great.
25% still.
Charlie's, I don't believe, going anywhere. But Sean Watson has stated in press conferences that he has a desire to be a head coach. I think he has total right to go after that type of position, and go try it out. But I would hope Sean Watson would hold out and really go for a really top level coaching job, not go somewhere in like Conference USA or in the MAC. I think he's a BCS caliber coach, and I think he needs to go to a BCS caliber program. Hopefully we don't have to play him in the ACC.
Yeah.
But I actually think like an Indiana would be great for him.
Yeah.
Someplace in the Big Ten, maybe even out west. But I kind of like him in Indiana. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, anything else about football you want to talk about? I'll say that Gordon G was fired. Everyone already knows that.
Yeah, Gordon G.
Or is it Gee or G?
Gee, G. He's gone.
VGs?
Yeah, he's gone. Bow tie? Out. Doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
He's gone. He said his piece.
You step up to Rick Pitino, you will fail.
Yeah.
2013 has been.
He took on the Catholics in Louisville and he lost. So.
Moving to baseball.
We're going to the World Series, the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. I've never been this excited about going to Nebraska in my life.
I don't think anyone's excited about going to Nebraska, but I guess this would be a good reason. This is probably the only exciting reason, unless you love corn.
It's the year of the Cardinal. There's no doubt about it. You cannot put national runner-up in women's basketball, a national championship in men's basketball, a Sugar Bowl victory, all the titles. I mean, there's been so many All-Americans, so many conference championships, had a swimming national champion. I mean, there's just so much going on in this tour.
2013's been good. Now, let's talk about... In most polls, Vanderbilt is number one.
Was number one, yes.
And we just swept them.
Just swept the number one team, maybe number two team in the country, swept them on their home playing surface, home field, kicked in their front door, took their season, going to Omaha. North Carolina's up against the ropes. They're the other contender for number one in the country. They're up against the ropes in South Carolina. They have a deciding game 3 tomorrow.
Okay.
But Louisville will play Indiana and Omaha for sure.
Okay, so games are Omaha starts Saturday, June 15th.
There's an opening ceremony on Friday, but you can get out there if you can find your way to Nebraska on Saturday. I've always heard it's an amazing event. I want to see if I can work out logistically if I can actually go.
Okay, but game one.
Game one.
We beat Vanderbilt yesterday, 5-3.
Chad Green, solid innings. It wasn't awesome, but he was effective. And Louisville didn't play great, but they just found a way to win. They found a way that they struggled left-handed pitching all year. And that was the case yesterday.
What was
they
the...
They kept grinding.
We had a pinch hitter.
And Matt Helms.
Matt Helms has been a guy that has not seen the plate in 16 games.
It was a long time.
And he hasn't had an RBI in 90 days. No, 30 days? 90 days? 3 months.
It's,
no, 90 days.
It's been a long time.
So... It was a 2-2 tie. Matt Helms gets a pinch hit opportunity. That's just the coach instilling confidence in his players and says, "You're my guy."
Yeah.
And the guy knocks in two runs off a single, I think, to left field.
It was bases loaded, two outs. He had a single, knocked in two runs, only 41 at-bats all year long. I mean, here's a senior. This is where leadership really comes into a play. I mean, for even Matt Helms to even get the call, we had to have Nick... everybody calls him Rat at second base because his name is impossible to say. Even when you're looking at it, you know how to say it, it's impossible to say. But Rat gets hurt. So we're looking at so many different things, and then he comes in to pinch hit. And Helms goes to the Shad Nation hack shack all the time. Like, his sister calls him. There's a great article on CourierJournal.com. Tim Sullivan wrote it, talking about how his sister – would call him at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night saying, "Hey, I have dinner waiting for you. What's going on? He's like, hey, I'm going to hit a little. Here's a guy that doesn't start. He didn't start a game. He hasn't started a game since March 27th still.
Yeah,
and he's staying at the facility late at night. He's a senior. This is his last thing. And he had one goal all year long. He didn't care about himself. College World Series. That's all it was about for him. That's all it was about for this team. Players getting drafted all over the place. All of Vanderbilt got drafted. Almost all those guys came back for their senior years. This was basically like Florida's back-to-back national championship team because this team did not win last year. And they all decided, instead of going to the Major League Baseball draft, we're going to come back and play now. We're going to win the national championship in 2013. That's that team that they just lost. And that team is loaded with Major League Baseball talent.
Well, it's not going to happen.
And it's not going to happen. University of Louisville kicked in their front door.
Now, moving on to game two.
Jeff Thompson.
Jeff Thompson, big pitcher. Tell us about him for a little bit.
I don't know. I mean, you can't really say many words about Jeff Thompson without saying warrior. Threw 124 pitches. Absolutely gave up one home run. Okay, just absolutely dealt and grinded. Vanderbilt's lineup is lethal. There is no doubt about it. And they Louisville won a 2-1 pitcher's duel, and it was all because Jeff Thompson set the tone. They brought in Joe Filomeno in relief in the eighth inning. He got a couple batters out, and then they had to go to Kyle Funkhauser.
And he also got extremely emotional.
He was extremely emotional.
I thought we have some injured players, and I saw him, I think, physically injuring players.
Yeah.
When he was taken out of the game, and they replaced him with
Kyle Funkhauser.
At first, the Funkmeister.
The Funk Man.
So Funk Man comes in, and Filomeno was crying.
Yes.
He was really emotional.
Filomeno's
he was crying.
Coming off a shoulder surgery injury. He pitched in the regional like incredibly well. He was just absolutely dominant. It looked like he got hurt again.
Yeah.
He came out, he was crying. Jeff Thompson grabbed him.
A couple players. I mean, they had a couple guys on base, but it was two outs.
Yeah.
So he was feeling it. He was like, I'm coming out. I have put this team perhaps in a bad position.
Yep.
We've been riding this this lead this whole game, and I'm about to ruin it. So when they got that third out, you could just see that whole
dugout just went nuts.
Nuts. But Filomeno himself just had a huge sigh of relief because he felt like he put the team in a bad spot. You could tell that. And then he started punching his teammates in celebration.
He did punch his teammates.
Probably not a great idea to start punching your teammates.
It was emotional. This is what we do. We're about to win championships after winning more. This is Louisville baseball's time. It's their second College World Series appearance ever. That was on the line at the moment. And, I mean, that's what these guys are playing for.
Yeah.
Then Funkhauser got the out, and then Cody Eagy came in again, and you know, and closed the door. I don't know really if in like 10 years, what we'll actually look back and say about this entire athletic season. No matter what happens in Omaha, I mean,
I can tell you right now,
sport.
I've been,
but it's incredible.
Since I can remember watching U of L sports, and that my first memory would be. Being put to bed, honestly, my first memory is being put to bed during the 1980 NCAA championship game against UCLA at halftime.
Yeah.
Because it was too late for me. I don't care, no matter if I have a child, I don't care if they are 2 months old. They're watching that national championship.
We're going to sit together.
Late
we're sharing this
I'm giving my dad a very difficult time about doing that. But but I can tell you, it's not even close. There's not even a year that sniffs this. I mean, you've just done, I think, what no university has done. That's College World Series, Final Four, which we happen to win the national title, and then BCS, which we happen to win the Sugar Bowl, all in the same year.
Yeah.
You know, no major program has done that. And then certainly it's women's basketball to the runner-up, to swimming. I mean, there's so many other things.
There's a ton of other great stories.
When did
stories.
We become a machine? We are a factory now.
Louisville has been
we
so
close. We went from
close.
A basketball school to a factory.
Right. I mean, I think if we look before this season, Louisville's been so close for so long, and we always said, you know, when, like, Tom Jurich is a great athletic director. When's the championship going to come? And I think that this year, we all knew beforehand, I think this year is validation so much for him, and I'm happy for him and the kids and the administration and the players and the coaches and everything. But I'm happiest for him and because he's put in a lot of hard work. He's put Louisville where it is today. And just thank you, Tom Jurich.
Yeah, he's the critical hire. I remember when they grabbed him from Colorado State, I was complaining. I'm like, we don't go to Colorado State to build up our program. Who is this guy? But he's obviously
who knew?
Had the magic formula, and he's done great. And that's going to wrap it up for this podcast. We thank you all for listening. Obviously, we've got some exciting...
Maybe I'll be calling in from Omaha next week.
Calling in from Omaha. We've got some exciting coverage coming up from Omaha for our next podcast. So do check out The Crunch Zone. And in late July, check out TheCrunchZone.com as we're going to replace our former website, CardsAndCats.com, which you can check out today, with TheCrunchZone.com. And the whole theory behind that is Crunch Zone's where the crazy fans are. So
that's right, and we're crazy.
It's a fan site for fans. So thank you for this edition of The Crunch Zone, and we'll catch you next week.
Cars forever. I promise to rep the veal and